Good morning.
Good morning.
Kids gone?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yay. So, Mother's Day. How was everybody's week leading up to Mother's Day? Was it good? Wet. Listen, don't tell me about wet. So, those of you who have heard me speak before know that I coach softball and know that I use a ton of examples from that, a ton of examples from raising sheep in my messages. Listen, I've preached to Lexi Winger for like 4 years that Jesus loves Northmore softball, right? Well, she finally decided that she was going to give this Jesus thing a try this year. And she's doing remarkably well. I want to share, if when I deal with parents, I don't talk to too many of the dads. I send a message to the moms. Why? Moms are going to do it anyway. Okay? Because I know how it works in my house. Okay? I'm going to put it off. Not Chris. She's going to do it. She's going to rewrite it 15 times, 20 times, 30 times. Okay, that's what women do. Okay? Thank God for that. So we had senior night this week, and Lexi and my other senior, Briston, their parents came and walked them on the field, on the cool turf and whatever. Brittany and Jesse had wrote, I have my parents write a letter to their senior athlete, and I put it in a frame with a little softball background. Just some corny. But it means a lot to the kids because it didn't come from me. It comes from their parents. Their parents have already done the job. I get them for 3 or 4 months. So in Brittany and Jesse's letter, I know it was written by Brittany because she made reference to the fact that Jesus may love Northmore softball, but I do not. It's too cold. It's too wet. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I should ask Brittany for permission first. But, we have played 21 games, which is shocking with the weather the way it is. But when you have a turf infield, you can do that. Before I give any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, let us come before you, and I lift up all the women here today, Lord, and all the mothers, the mothers-to-be, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers, the aunts, the sisters. Lord, we can learn so much from our mothers. And I just pray your hand on them, not only today, but the rest of their lives, Lord, that they realize the impact that they have on lives. Lord, just be with me today and take me out of it. Shut me down and just use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, and bring out what you want to be brought out so that these mothers get what they need to get out of today's message. In your name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message is, and listen, my church mom flipped out on me Friday. Julie is my church mom. Because I didn't text her and I was waiting because I had it. I didn't text her. And Friday, during school, after I knew she had left for school, I shot her a text. Hey, here's the title. Here's the passages. And I didn't hear because she didn't have her phone at school. But then about midday, I get a text message, thank you, with a bunch of exclamation points. She's not used to me being prepared. And I thought I was going to get by, and God wasn't going to change that. He's left the main topic. Because it's Mother's Day, but he's worked on me a lot this week. So, the title is A Mother's Impact. Guys, I want you to think about your childhood and just where you would be without your mother. My mom had 3 kids. My mom's here today. I invited her and dad today, and they said, well, I don't know if we're going to make it. We may have to sub in at nursery at our church, whatever. But they came because that's what moms do, right? I don't know if mom had to find somebody else to take care of nursery at her church or not. She did it. She's here. And I the impact mothers make, because fathers, I'm not real good with the emotional stuff. Man, with my three girls, I'm either bawling or I'm angry. Okay? Chris finds that balance and is able to communicate. I either go to mush or I get mad. Okay? And mothers do that. And I don't know how, but today, when you look up the passages we're going to use, you're going to think, how in the world is he going to talk about mothers when he's talking about Paul and Timothy? We'll get there. We'll get there. Now, I was told I only have 23 minutes. She may be late. So, let's turn to 2 Timothy. I'll give you time to get there. Is where we're going to start today. I want to throw everybody in. Paul was an apostle of Christ by the will of God. Paul wasn't an apostle of Christ because he chose to be an apostle of Christ. Paul was an apostle of Christ because Christ chose Paul to be an apostle of Christ. By the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm gonna start in verse 2 because I think there's something here that is important. It says, "To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am now persuaded now lives in you also." So a little background on Timothy. Timothy's father was a Gentile. Timothy's mother was a Jew. And I know Matt spoke on it, I know Les spoke on it. Those two don't mix. Okay, very rarely were they married. They don't mix. But that's the background, that's the family background on Timothy. And we also know that Timothy did what at a very young age? He went with Paul and started preaching at a very young age. We don't know how old Timothy is here, but he's not very old when he's running this church. Okay? So there's the backstory. Paul, what do we know about Paul? Paul was a teacher. He was the pastor. He was the evangelist. Paul is the guy that took the word and went out. Paul started getting tired. So God gave him Timothy to train. Paul was the ultimate trainer. He was the mentor to the other people. And he is the one that always wrote. You know, these Timothy, the Acts, the Romans, those Timothy, these are letters written to Timothy. Not written by Timothy. They're written to Timothy. And it's from Paul because Paul wants him to be encouraged in God's Word. Okay? We'll get there. I promise I get there. Because this is a time in Timothy's life when he's in a rough town. It's called the church at Ephesus. Before Timothy could allow Paul to take lead in situations previously, now Timothy was all on his own. This is like his church plant, okay, if that makes sense. And Timothy's he's encountering all kinds of issues. But here's some things we know about Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, it says he's sensitive. He takes a genuine interest in people. That's Philippians 2:20. And I've got all these on there. We're not going to get to all of them. Here's one. If you need, everybody has a yearly evaluation in their job, right? I do. Mine's pretty generic because there's 10 of us that do the same job. We kind of all get the same evaluation because we all get the same raise, which is not much. I should just take pride in my job. But here Paul writes, I have no one else like him. Okay? Now, I want you to think of this as a mother. And again, my mom had three kids. There's differences in all three of us. Okay? My brother is OCD. My brother is schedule. I'm kind of fly by the seat of my pants. I can adapt in situations. If I had to say, I'm probably the most like my grandfather. And if you don't believe that, you can look at my fingers. You can look at my hands, my legs. I got scars. And I don't even know I'm bleeding sometimes when I come back to the barn. And that's my grandfather. I can remember him just banging his finger with a hammer. He didn't flinch. He had blood squirting out the end. It don't matter. Wipe it on the sheet. Right? That's me. My sister is total fly by the seat of her pants. Four kids under 12, fly by the seat of her pants. And busy. All three of us are busy. Right? So, for Timothy to get this compliment from Paul, that tells you something about the way Timothy was going about his business. Paul calls him my son. Several occasions, he does it in 1 Corinthians 4:17. He again used it in 1 Timothy 1:2 and in 2 Timothy 1:2. That's pretty cool. Though these character qualities don't get listed on resumes, if you're going to go to fill out a job, you're not going to get the job because it says you're genuine and you like people and you're sensitive. Right? These are important characteristics that Christ needs to see in us. Guys, this is not about what Matt sees in me or what Becky sees in me. I care about what Christ sees in me. Okay? Here's one of my favorites. Mothers and fathers would have no apprehension letting their daughters date him. That's a pretty cool compliment. I have three daughters. Okay? Skylar, we had that conversation. We've had that conversation about Skylar. Nate is great to Shelby. That's all I care about. They treat him well. That's all I care about. Okay? And Morgan's getting there. Morgan is trying to figure it all out, right? But Timothy, there wasn't a guy that had a daughter that wasn't going to let him date his daughter. Cool. Timothy was a star. So naturally, we're going to ask, how did Timothy get that way? Okay. In Acts 16, let's go to Acts. Going to skip two books to the left. Two or three. Acts 16. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek or a Gentile. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So, we understand Timothy was mother-father intermingled. What we don't understand is Timothy made a commitment that day to serve the Lord. Because let me tell you, circumcision, not for the faint of heart. Because at that time, Timothy was 12, 13 years old. I don't think they did it then like they do now. I mean, now it's probably laser. I don't know. I didn't have boys. They may have a tool, but they're imagining. I mean, and I'll relate it to a sheep story. So we have come so far technologically. When we band tails nowadays, I have a little rubber band that's, I mean, it'll cut my circulation off the pinky. It's so tight. It goes on a pair of pliers. I open them up, put the tail in, squeeze it down. The lamb's getting numb. You know how the first time I remember doing tails at Grandpa's, and Dad will tell you, I think he partook in a couple of that. Grandpa used to have a hatchet. It wasn't always sharp. Yeah, we're way more sanitary. That's my point to the story. I would not want to be circumcised back in that day. Okay? Enough said. This text also tells us something else, that Timothy's mom, Eunice, was a believer and a follower of Christ. That is the most important statement in that whole passage. Why? Because as a believer in Christ, how am I going to raise Emily already alluded to this. As a believer in Christ, how am I going to raise my children as believers in Christ? If I'm a non-believer in Christ, how am I going to raise my children as a non-believer in Christ? So it's important that we understand Timothy's mother, Eunice, was a believer in Christ. Christian women today face the same challenges. Sometimes Christian women have spouses that are disinterested in Christianity. Sometimes Christian women today have spouses that take no part in raising kids. And that's vice versa as well. I mean, Christian men can have wives that are disinterested. But what I want you to get is Timothy was impacted by the faith of a single parent. Okay. Our God works and can work through any family situation. I don't care what your family situation is, He can work through it. In the passage, Paul also says that he is touched by Timothy's sincere faith. What does that mean? That means Timothy's faith was not a Sunday morning faith. Timothy's faith was a 24/7, 365, every day he's alive faith. Are we all that way? Sometimes I struggle with that. Things don't go my way, man. Sometimes it's easy to fall into old habits. Sometimes I blame everybody else. Timothy's faith was not learned from books. It was learned from his upbringing. Guys, as parents, as mothers especially, we have to mold our children in the way we want them to be 24/7. What does that mean? It means when you're having a bad day, you gotta still be a Christian. When you're having a good day, you still gotta be a Christian. When you don't want to be the parent, you still gotta be the parent. It's a thankless job. But as Emily alluded to also, it's a job that the repayment is well worth the battle. You know, as I look at my three daughters, and I hope as my mom looks at her two sons and her daughter, I can see the blood, sweat, and tears that Chris and I have put in, and that mom and dad have put in, and I can see how it's translated into their life today. So if you got little ones, man, I'm telling you, keep going. Keep going. You're not going to see that repayment when they're six. You may not see it when they're 12. You may not see it till they're 50. Right? If you are a mother for the payment at the end, you're in the wrong line of work. You got to cherish every single moment. You got to love we've talked about it. God tells us to love our enemies. You think God wants us to love the bad situations our kids put us in? Yep. Now, unlike Emily, I was a good kid, and my mom will tell you that. Listen, just like Timothy, my mother and my grandmother are two of the most important people ever in my life. My grandmother only yelled at me one time. One time. And I did some dumb stuff at her house. My brother and I had a BB gun fight inside a barn. Ricocheting all over. Just one of the things we did. Mom may not even known about that till today. I don't know. You know, when we went in, Grandma never yelled at us. That was strange to me. I'll tell you about a time my grandma yelled at me. The only time I can remember. Grandma was 85 when she passed, I think. 80, 85, I don't know. I was a lot younger than I am now, I know that. But we were at her house in Mount Gilead, and we used to go to her house on Sunday nights for pizza or whatever. Grandma would fix whatever, monster cookies is the one thing I know. So Shelby was 3-ish, and Shelby was raised with the iron fist, right? Shelby knew when I said no, she, okay, Dad said no, I'm out. Right? Well, Shelby was misbehaving. And so Shelby and I went to the bathroom. And we had a conversation. And when we came out, Shelby had great big crocodile tears. And I opened the bathroom door. Shelby went out. I stepped in the hallway. My grandmother was right there in my face. Matthew, don't you ever lay your hands on that girl again. I think Shelby's been spanked twice in her life. She probably should get it all the time now. Okay? But, and I don't know if anybody else knows that ever happened, but I'm telling you, that woke me up. That woke me up. So I let Morgan and Lindsay do whatever they want, and that's how they turn out. Okay, I'm going to get to three things that godly mothers do. Godly mothers influence their children. Paul indicates that God used a mom and a grandmother in a significant way to impact but not determine a child's faith. We understand that as mothers, we want to just pound, 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 my faith, my faith, my faith. You've got to be a Christian, you've got to be a Christian. It's still got to be your child's choice. You know, that's why we don't hear baptize as infants. Right? Because we believe Jesus made the choice to go into the baptismal waters. That gives us the example that we're going to follow. So we want that to be your choice to be baptized into Jesus Christ. Okay? So mothers, if your kid's not responding to, I want you to get baptized, I want you to... Listen, you influence it by your actions. Fathers as well. Timothy's sincere faith did not, by accident, grow. It was through the actions during his childhood of his mother and his grandmother. It came as a direct result and the direct impact of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Now, I want you to take note that there is three generations there of Christians. Okay? And that goes back to Emily's point that Christians, we reproduce Christians, which reproduce Christians, which reproduce Christians. Somewhere along the line, that chain might get broke. We got to do our part as mothers and fathers to raise our kids in Christian homes. What does that look like? Everybody's kids see them pray? Everybody's kids see them study the Bible? Everybody's kids watch their actions when things are good? I'm going to tell you, they watch your actions when things are bad. But understand they're also watching when things are good. Because God made us that way. So mothers, godly mothers, influence their children. But they have to see it in us. Number two. Godly mothers teach by example. So, question I'm going to ask is, if we teach by example and we want our kids to be Christians, moms and dads both, what are you doing to grow your faith? Guys, sometimes we get so busy as a mom. So busy as a dad. And those schedules are different, right? Because as a dad, we're at work, we're at whatever, we're coaching a ball team, we're doing this, we're doing that. Do our kids see us grow our spiritual self? And as mothers, you know, most of us today, we go to work, we come home, we cook meals, we do this, we do laundry, we do that. Do our kids see us grow our spiritual life? So, what am I telling you? Leave that laundry basket be and grab the Bible. 20 minutes. Let your kids see you grow your spirituality. Because then they become inquisitive and they mold themselves after what you have shown them. And if you're too busy for God, your kids are going to be too busy for God. This is probably going to... It is not the church's role and the church's responsibility to teach your children Christianity. Our job is to help in that. Our job is to enhance that, but our job is not to teach individual children spirituality. It's our job as parents. It's our job as grandparents. All right. This was always one thing that always happened when we went to grandma's, and we had our house at home as well. But you didn't eat till you prayed. And when we do the same at our house. But, you know, I think it's important that we thank God for the blessing that He gave us. Because it, you know, he wants us to repent. He wants us to do all these things. We need to be thankful, and we need to have our heart in a thanksgiving place in order to grow our spirituality. Paul told somehow found out that. That Timothy, when he was a mere infant, began to learn the scriptures. His mom and grandma, perhaps some others, made it their mission. Guys, is it your mission to teach your kids the Bible? Is it your mission to teach your kids passages? Is it your mission to teach your kids the main Bible stories? Let's start there. You know, our kids should all know the Old Testament stories. Moses, Jacob, the whole gamut. There's a bunch. Noah, David. Because in order to understand the New Testament, we have to understand where that Old Testament came from, or where the New Testament, all the examples Jesus uses, was used before. Years and years and years before Jesus was going to preach on something that already happened. God's plan perfect. Go ahead and plug the clock. Keep it track. We have to let go. This is number three. Parents, mothers, we have to let go. But we can do that if we've done all the other stuff. You know, and Jesse and Brittany are going to experience that. They've already experienced it with Chloe. They're going to experience it with Lexi. She's going to go to Miami University, and you've got to trust that everything she's... Morgan went last year. Shelby went. Lindsay went to military, and I had a lot of trust in the military. Boy, was I wrong. She should have went to college. No, I'm teasing. She's where she's supposed to be, and I trust God in that plan. She has a career. She's good to go. But that was hard on all three of them. But do we read anywhere Eunice, do we read anywhere in that passage, in that story, of Eunice going and crying to Timothy and saying, you got to come back home? No. Because Eunice had already put in the work. She knew what Timothy was going to be when he went out there, because she had already developed him and pushed him and grown him. She was a mom who lived the faith first, and she wanted her son to have the same. Here was a mom who trusted in God's love, provision, calling, and care more than her own abilities. Timothy was God's first and hers second. She let him go. And then wrapping up, you know, we all have godly women in our lives. We all have, and they may or may not be your mothers. I guarantee you, if your mother is not a godly woman and you're a godly woman or man, it's because some other godly woman touched your life. Those of us that had godly women in our lives from the beginning are lucky. Absolutely lucky. You can't be in it for the payoff, though. Because you may or may not see the payoff. You got to do the best you can do, teach them what you can teach them, and then let them go. Because you're letting them go to what? You're letting them go to God. If you've raised them and you've trained them and you've instructed them in the ways of the Lord, God's got it in His hand. Remember the my yoke, His light? Can you imagine all the daughters and sons in the world that God is carrying with Him? And His yoke is light. Guys, our God can do it. And as a mom, we want everything to be good all the time. And I'm just guessing that's what moms want, because that's what dads want, right? I don't want my kids to struggle. Guess what? They're going to. Morgan has grown so much this year because of some of the struggles she had to face. But she was equipped to face them. I'm going to close with this. If you're a mom here today and you're struggling with anything, feel free. We're going to offer a time of invitation. The elders will be here. We would love to pray you through that situation. We would love and listen. If it's a mother situation, if you want another mother, I'll find you another mother to help. Guys, we have so much a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience in this church that if we're not using it, okay? I mean, I'm so thankful for guys in this church, for women in this church that give that example. Because, man, it's what got us through those rough times there 3, 4, 5 years ago, however long, I don't even know how long ago it was. That's how far it's erased from my mind. But do me a favor today. If you haven't told your mom how thankful you are for what they've done for you, today's your day to do it. Today's your day to do it. And if your mom doesn't live around here, you know, I'm lucky. My mom lives like 50 feet from my house. Sometimes I'm lucky, sometimes she's unlucky. Because she sees some of the stupid stuff I do. But guys, if your mom has instructed you in the way of Christian living, be thankful. And if you're a young mother and you've got kids and you think they're not listening, I'm telling you, they're listening. You're not going to see the reward right away. We did that with ours. Sometimes you don't see it. Then one day it just... And it's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Fathers, men, support your... support your mothers, support your women today. They are in that everyday line. You know, with three daughters, my girls really didn't care. They saw me studying the Bible. It impacts them when they see Chris studying the Bible. And we do it at different times. I do it in the car usually. Chris is 5-6 o'clock in the morning. Now the girls don't see it anymore because they're not up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay? Don't be afraid to model the attitude, the work ethic, the drive that you want your kids to have, because that's how they're going to learn it. They're not going to learn it from you pointing a finger at them and saying, I need you to do this. Show them how to be a Christian woman. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I just thank you for taking this message that you wanted brought out, and I hope that there's a mother out there today that heard what you wanted her to hear, Lord. If you touch one mother today, Lord, then this time was very well spent. Lord, as we go through our week, let's not just make Mother's Day one day. Our mothers have a huge impact on our lives every single day of every single year. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.